Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. Located at 6080 Falls Road, more information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.
Hello again, everyone. Dan Rodericks here from the Baltimore Sun. We're up to episode 417 of Roughly Speaking now. And today's show is a visit to the Farmers Market in the Waverly neighborhood in North Baltimore, the 32nd Street Farmers Market that takes place every Saturday morning all year long, just a few blocks from Johns Hopkins University, Charles Village, in the neighborhood of Waverly. I met John Shields there this past Saturday. Listeners to the podcast know John is a regular contributor to the show. He has Gertrude's Restaurant in the Baltimore Museum of Art, and he's written cookbooks about Chesapeake cuisine, having traveled all over the area to learn about regional cooking and to gather recipes. The staff from Gertrude's goes to the Waverly Farmers Market early on Saturday. They got there before I did, to buy produce, particularly from One Straw Farm. That's Joan Norman's One Straw Farm in Whitehall in northern Baltimore County. She's pretty well known. She sells her produce at several markets. In fact, you're going to hear from Joan as we tour the Waverly Market. While I was waiting for John to show up to meet me near Zeke's coffee tent, I listened to a man named Murdoff play his guitar and sing his rendition of a Jimi Hendrix song.
Will the wind ever remember the names?
Now, a couple of things before we get started. Some notes about what's ahead. You'll hear talk about purslane. That's an edible green that grows wild, right, out of the cracks in the sidewalks of the city, but also in farm fields and suburban backyards. It might remind you of a jade plant. It's crunchy, sort of like watercress. Joan Norman doesn't grow it. She doesn't have to. Purslane grows on its own. Joan's workers harvest it and bundle it, and they bring it to the market because some of her customers crave it. You'll hear her talk about that. It's been a rainy spring and summer, so I'll ask Joan, the farmer, about that. It's August, and that means lots of Maryland peaches. The Waverly Market offers plenty of fruits and vegetables, but you can also buy pastries, tomato tarts, French bread, kimchi, cheeses, olives, pickles, and even a locally distilled bourbon. So let's get to it. Here comes John Shields now. How many years have you been coming here now? Do you have any idea?
I guess it's been about 23 years now.
So someone might ask, what's a restaurateur doing at a farmer's market? Can't you get everything that you need through the restaurant?
Not actually. Believe it or not, all those things that are coming from California and the Midwest and that you get through the big guys, they don't have the variety of what you can find here in season.
And it's not as fresh, obviously, right?
No.
And so is this for the restaurant? When you come here to shop, is it for the restaurant or for yourself?
It's for the restaurant. We're both, you know, but we already were here early. The executive chef, Doug Wetzel, had big carts. We loaded up the truck. And Doug took everything back to the restaurant already today.
That's your routine?
Yeah,
on Saturday?
We're here every Saturday, 6:45.
So what did he buy?
He bought tomatoes, he bought melons, he bought apples, he bought dairy, he bought greens, he bought all kinds of things. He just walks around and sometimes we have a little list.
In the summer, you make that part of your plan, your ordering plan, you're going to come to the farmer's market?
Absolutely. That's the central thing. And after meeting all these people all these years, we have a great relationship, so many of them will deliver to us later in the week. Wow. So this is just kind of like the fun time where we can talk to everybody, hear what's going on, and then later they'll stop by the restaurant during the week and bring us cases of more things.
Let's walk over to some of your suppliers then.
All right, let's go.
You can show me what you bought this morning.
All right. Let's go see John.
John, look at the squash. Look at the display of squash and peppers right here.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Is this Jones? This is all Jones?
Yeah.
Oh, she looks great. Oh, my God.
Dan Rodericks.
Hello, Joan. Nice to see you again. How are you?
And this is Pam.
How are you?
Hello,
Pam.
Pam of the goat, goat cheese fame.
Yeah. How are you? Pam, what's your last name?
Miller.
How are you?
Mm-hmm.
But we have a lot of color going on here.
Look at the eggplant.
Yeah, they're beautiful, aren't they?
What do you like to do with eggplant?
Oh, my God. If I'm doing it for myself, I like fried eggplant. At the restaurant, you know, we'll do all kinds of roasted eggplants. We'll make soups out of them, dips out of them.
Soup.
Casseroles out of them.
You put soup, eggplant in soup.
Yeah, I love an eggplant
soup. I've never
soup.
Done that.
Yeah.
It's eggplant soup.
Yeah, an
eggplant. There must be something else in
it. Yeah, it's a roasted eggplant soup, and you can make it with either a vegetable stock or a chicken stock. I put a little bit of rice in it, and I puree the whole thing. So the rice gives it a little bit of texture.
Yeah.
Tons of roasted garlic in it. And then
they go hand in hand, don't they, eggplant and garlic?
Yeah, and then you make a saffron aioli, and you drizzle that all over top of it. Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Wow, I've never done that. I have to try that.
It's awesome.
A puree with a little texture from the rice.
Yeah,
like
yeah. So it's good. Barbara, how are you?
I'm okay. Did you see Bonnie? She was here.
She was here like really quick. I saw her one day.
How's she doing?
She's doing good.
I get excited when I see red peppers.
I know. It makes you... You know, one of the things that's fun to do with these...
These are like Christmas peppers. They're between red and green right now.
I like to get the red, green, yellow, and slice them real thin.
Yeah.
And then I take a big saute pan, put a ton of olive oil in there, some garlic, and then I just sweat them real slow for like forever.
Yeah.
And then take just a little bit of a really nice vinegar, just drops, put some few drops, and then I get some goat cheese right at the end, take it off, crumble it over, fold it in, it starts to melt, and then you serve it at room temperature as a salad. It's unbelievable.
And you don't add any more dressing or anything?
No.
Just the vinegar that you put in while it was sweating?
Yep, olive oil, a little bit of vinegar that you're finishing it off with.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that it was either a Julia Child or a Jacques Pepin recipe I used to use in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And 70s, actually.
I was just up in New England and bought some Portuguese sausage in New Bedford. And made a very simple fresh peppers and onion saute with the linguiça. Remember the linguiça sausage?
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, John, what else we got here? Look at all kinds of potatoes.
There's everything. You know, potatoes are just, I think this is kind of like a new crop that's coming in now.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the purple pepper. God, we have peppers everywhere.
Green and purple peppers, $3 for $3.50.
You can't beat it.
And look at this nice cabbage down here. I know you have a special affinity with cabbage.
Absolutely, because we always get ready for Craft Fest. And actually, Joan Norman here at Munstrel, she grows our cabbage for Craft Fest.
That's a lot of cabbage.
And
how much cabbage is that? Do you remember?
About 500 pounds. But we always get it after the first frost, because it firms up the cabbage, makes a much better sauerkraut after that first frost.
So she'll have more than one crop of cabbage then?
Oh, yeah.
She staggers the planting?
Yeah. So she'll have that for us in the fall.
Let's go over to the greens.
Let's
go visit our neighbors, the greens. They're over here. Oh, my God. This looks great. Russian kale. What's the deal on Russian kale? Is just a bigger kale, bigger leaf? Is that
obviously it's a different variety. I find it a little bit stronger, tougher. So I don't really use this so much with salads. I cook this one down and see.
Have you heard of kale chips?
Yeah.
In the oven?
Yeah. Joan.
This would be good for that.
Joan Norman was giving me recipes for that.
Oh.
I mean, she's good.
I might have heard about it from her.
Joan, you can walk around here. Joan can rattle off recipes for every single thing that's here. It's great.
What is this? Is this Lacinato kale? That's a big mammoth kale.
It is a mammoth kale, and it's a little bit of one of the tougher ones.
So... there isn't much you can do with these except cook them a lot, right? Like, as you would collards, right?
That's generally what I do. I mean, I love greens. I do them sometimes as salads, but the best way for me is just I love to saute them or stew them.
Well, that's why I like the lighter greens or the more tender greens
in
a saute, like, what am I thinking of, mustard greens?
Yeah. Yeah, they work really, really nicely.
Even the curly kale, you can get away with that.
And the chard. Right? The chard, you can cook a lot less.
Yeah, her chard looks great.
That's gorgeous, isn't it? Look at this.
Oh, my God, that's beautiful.
Fabulous. And so that, you know, you don't have to cook so long. That, you can do a nice quick sauté with the chard, and it's just beautiful.
I want to tell you about this other green that's down here next to the spring onions. So this is purslane.
Yeah.
Now, this used to grow wild in my backyard when I was a kid. My mother harvested it for salads, and it's crunchy like watercress or something. It's a little spicy.
Yeah, it is.
Have you ever used it, purslane?
I haven't used it at the restaurant. I've seen it, and I've seen, you know, Joan has it every year, but I've not used it.
Oh, I think it adds a crunch to a salad and a little, what are you getting, a little spice from it?
Yeah, it has got a really nice flavor.
Mm-hmm. The texture of it reminds me a bit of watercress.
It does. It does look a little bit like watercress.
I have some of this grown in my backyard here in Baltimore, and spring onions. I use them all the time.
We just stepped into the
world of tomatoes. Look at these yellow tomatoes. I had some yellow last week and put them on a pizza, and they were great. And John just sniffed some
fresh basil. You put your face in the basil and then go over to the tomatoes. That's the way to do it.
She should have like a recreational pile of basil that you can just stick your face in.
Yeah, or roll around in.
You don't sell it. You just stick your nose in it, right?
That would be a great thing. Look at all the little
They're getting ready to legalize recreational use of basil. All right, look at those. What are you going to do with your tomatoes?
I don't know yet.
They look nice. I sliced them and put them on a pizza last week, and they were really nice.
Yeah, I was regretting. I ate pizza last night, and I was thinking, I wish I had some of those tomatoes left, but I'd eaten them all.
And they're not the perfect tomato for a pizza. They can get a little watery on a pizza.
Right.
But still, just bury them in cheese. Anyway,
you just eat them. I mean,
do you pick up tomatoes from Joan for the restaurant?
We do. And she's also stops by generally on Thursdays and brings more produce for us, which is always lovely.
You see the cherry tomatoes over there and the grape tomatoes?
No.
That would seem manpower or womanpower intensive to me, picking those.
I think it is. Huh? It's got to be.
She doesn't have a special tool for that, does she?
No.
I should ask her.
We should ask her.
Purslane, do you put that in salad?
I love it.
Yeah.
I eat it just in salad. That's my only green.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Oh,
avocado. The Italians call that prechak.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because my mother used to pick it in the backyard and eat it.
Uh-huh.
We thought it was a weed, you know.
It is a weed.
So, but you don't cultivate those?
No.
You just let them grow wild someplace?
We try not to.
But people buy it.
Well, because it's a plant that has like more vitamin C and omega-3s than any other plant. So putting it in smoothies, salads, it's really good for you.
I'm going to buy some.
I'm not sure I would eat it out of the cracks in the sidewalk.
No, but in a backyard.
For obvious reasons.
But a backyard that didn't have fertilizer and pesticides and all that stuff.
As long as you don't have a dog.
And no dog.
Yeah. I have standards.
So there's no special tool for picking cherry and grape tomatoes?
There's 10 special units.
10 little fingers.
10 little fingers works really well. There's nothing special about that.
Job.
That is. It's not everybody's favorite.
So when you pick, them, do you have a bag or
a
basket right underneath you?
Yes.
Yeah. It's, like picking blueberries or something.
Yes. Yeah. Well, blueberries are easy because you can actually put they have like a basket you can wear.
Yeah.
The guys just have the bucket below, and they just kind of pick them and it drops in.
Yeah.
But it is intense. And the bucket's as heavy, whether it has cherry tomatoes in it or regular.
I haven't quite figured out what to do with tomatillas.
What do we do with them?
Salsa verde. You make salsa verde.
Yeah, I haven't.
It's easy.
Done.
You can either...
I know,
yeah.
I just haven't gone
you
to
either,
the...
You either grill them or boil them and put them in a blender with garlic, salt, and cilantro.
Done.
Is there any other use for them? Fried green tomatillas?
I don't think I would do that. Okay. They're sour.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've always used them just in sauces, you know, pretty much as salsa.
Besides the salsa?
Yeah.
You mean like a warm sauce? A savory sauce?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, we've even done like a pasta with them where we roast them, pureed them, and then we put them in with a little bit of cream, brought that down. It gives it a really beautiful flavor, and you can go in any direction with whatever pasta you want to do at that point.
Hey, Joan. How has this growing season been with all the rain?
It's not been fun.
I can't imagine.
It's not a fun year.
I mean, your stuff looks great, but you think you've had better years? Or?
Oh, we've all definitely had better years. But what you're not seeing is what you're missing.
Ah.
So we never got the beets planted because it rained too much. We didn't get the turnips planted because it rained too much. The carrots are not planted because it was raining too much.
Is it too late for turnips now?
No, we'll replant them. They've been planted again, but we would have had them now, but it rained 6 weeks ago, so they're not here today. You know, everything in May was late. Everything that was planted in May came in late. So we didn't have some things until almost July. So everything is getting pushed back, or you're planting between rainstorms.
So it affected the yield in that you couldn't do all your plantings.
Yes, and now we have things like the tomatoes are spreading.
Oh, yeah. Too much water.
Too much water. They just suck it right up. Hmm. Now, in spite of that, the cantaloupe this year have been delicious. But we didn't get our watermelons didn't come up, so... Sad year at one straw with no watermelon.
Sorry to hear that. But the cantaloupes are good?
They are. We had some cantaloupe that when you cut them in half, they were green on the inside. And a lot of people were very surprised.
Really? Is that because of the rain?
It's just a different variety.
Oh, it's a different variety.
It's a different variety.
Just as sweet?
It was good. As long as they're... If melons are ripe, they're delicious. If they're not ripe, they don't taste like anything. That's the truth on a melon.
Well, I mean, to me, to my eye, this all looks pretty good. So,
I'm not ashamed of what's here.
I like this.
Oh, that bread looks so good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Where are they from? Hyattsville, Maryland, Uptown Bakers.
There was a baker here last week, and they only are allowed to come like once a month because they have this community stand here that they do. And they're called Loaf Bakehouse. Mm-hmm. And I believe he is like an MBA kind of guy and his girlfriend. And he's obsessed with breads. He made the best sourdough bread I've had since I came back from California.
Wow.
It was phenomenal.
Like a baguette or a...
It was a loaf. And it was unbelievable.
Okay. So he's here about once a month?
Yeah, I could have cried.
Okay.
It was so good.
Loaf Bakehouse. And it reminded you of the sourdough from
Berkeley. There's a guy there who has Acme bread, which he started at Chez Panisse, Steve Sullivan, and which I consider to be one of the best breads anywhere. And this would stand up to Steve's bread. So it was phenomenal.
We got peaches, nectarines. Variety of peaches.
Yeah.
White, yellow. And what's that? What are those red? What are those?
Hey, Dave.
What are those down there?
I think Dave's got some tomatoes here, too. This is Dave Hockheimer.
Oh, they're tomatoes. I'm sorry. I thought there was a plum of some kind.
Dave, this
plum
is
Dan.
Oh, how are you, Dave?
We're growing these tomatoes in a greenhouse, and we're just about done. We're going to plant cucumbers in two of the greenhouses and tomatoes in the other greenhouse for the fall crop.
Yeah.
Rain too much this year, or is that what you do every year?
A little bit too much this year.
Yeah. A lot of rain. Huh?
A lot of rain.
Yeah. What kind of tomatoes are those?
These are all a beefsteak tomato. They're matched and trussed. And then I have a few yellow bee orange.
Great for gazpacho. That's a good idea. That's a great summer idea, huh?
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, I was in the flow of fruit here, and I thought there was some plum I hadn't seen before.
He thought this was a different variety of of plum. But
okay, boy. Get the
nectarines and peaches.
Yeah.
We're at the peak nectarine and peach season, so get them. Because in 4 weeks, we'll be crying. There won't be any more peaches.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah. This is the peak time, right?
You got to go for it when it's in.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
This is the time to do your canning and making your jams, your preserves.
You know what I have coming to my house today?
What?
Peach cake. Someone's made a peach cake. They're going to bring me a... That's a Baltimore tradition?
Yeah, we're making it today. I have a cooking class at the restaurant today, and the dessert is going to be the Baltimore peach cake.
Is the cooking class...
Today.
...in the peach cake? Is the class how to cook peach cake?
Yeah.
Today. Jeez, I wish I had enrolled in that, because I'd like to know how to make it. It's really a great Baltimore tradition.
It is.
Or is it a Maryland thing? Did you find in your travels for the cookbooks?
I only found it pretty much here in Baltimore. there's different kind of peach cakes, other, you know, like upside down peach cakes, but the one that we have here with the dough, the little bit of a risen dough, where the peaches kind of just get enveloped by the dough and all melt into it.
Yeah,
that's the Baltimore peach cake.
I just noticed that there's corn whiskey for sale here.
Oh, is it?
Did you see it back
there?
No,
I missed that.
You don't have an eye for that.
No.
You have an eye for zucchini. Come over here.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. In fact, there's a little keg here. This is Luthan Distill. Oh, this is
Lynn.
Lynn and your daughter?
Kelsey.
Kelsey, how are you?
Hey,
see, I've been meaning to come and... Hello, Dan Rodericks.
Yeah. John Shields.
Oh, it's nice to meet you.
Hello, I'm Dan Rodericks.
You're John Shields.
I'm John Shields.
John Shields.
So this is the Montebello Bourbon.
Okay. Cool.
Would y'all like some samples?
Are you allowed to do that?
Yes.
Are we allowed to do that?
I can't.
I'm on duty.
And
yes. Yeah, just a short, a really short sample would be fine with me. Wow. Want to smell it?
Yeah, I can smell it. Just can't drink. Oh, nice.
Oh, it's soft. It's nice.
Yeah, it has a soft...
Luthan Distilling. Can you do this in Hamilton?
Lauraville. So sort of a Lower Hamilton kind of thing.
I know, we have to be
very
specific.
The greater Lauraville metropolitan area.
Do you do this in your home?
No. Do you know where the Zeke's roastery is?
Are you in Zeke's building?
Yeah.
Ah.
We're in the back.
Okay. See, I had to draw John's attention to this because he's focused on greens and red and yellow things. Off. It's been such a rainy year, right?
Yeah.
Does everything look about the same? How does this year look compared to other years, since you get here more often than I do?
Well, I mean, honestly, the variety is pretty good, but the amounts of things are down a little bit. You can see they had a hard time, and they had to do replanting, and things are coming in late, or other things are coming in early. So it's just a little off. You can tell. But everything that's here, as you see, is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
So the quality is really good.
And Joan's explanation kind of follows, right?
Yeah.
There's some things that you just couldn't plant because the ground was so wet.
Right. So, but corn's here. But usually that
pickup truck?
That pickup truck of corn is way higher. I've noticed each week there's been a little bit less corn coming in.
Mm.
But it's been good. It's been very good, but I think the yields were down again this year.
Well, this is the time to get here. This is my August is my favorite month for the farm. Well, September's good too.
Oh, I love September, October.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So here you can get your probiotics right over there.
Oh yeah, sauerkraut, kimchi, and kombucha.
They do a really good job. He's got fresh black-eyed peas.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. This is the...
All hand shucked.
This is the bean people, the pea people.
Yeah.
And so when the fresh peas are in, the line goes all the way down to market to get the
earlier
fresh peas.
Earlier
in the year.
Yeah.
So it's very cool.
It's because you don't have to pod them yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to... What is the word? Shell them.
Yeah, shell them.
What is your price in the whole market? What is your prize catch for the whole year? What is the thing you look forward to actually eating yourself, not just cooking for others?
You know, and this is the craziest thing. You wouldn't believe that this would get me so good. In the fall, just right down at the end of the market here, there's another guy that does apples and you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
He has Concord grapes that he grows.
Mm.
And it's only for like this really short period of time. And I know it might sound stupid or crazy, but I can just get those and eat them. And it takes me back to being a kid. Because a lot of the Italians in our neighborhood would grow them. And I would go all around picking those grapes in the fall. And it was the happiest memory. And so I wait for that all year here for those grapes to come.
When I was a kid, this is my father and the neighbors grew Concord grapes.
Uh-huh.
And my two grandmothers and my mother would gather in the kitchen and make grape jelly.
Yeah.
And grape juice.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever had fresh grape juice?
I have. It's unbelievable.
It's nectar to the gods.
Yeah.
That
is,
so they move right along and make wine.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why they just don't make more grape juice. It's so good.
Because the juice is way better than the wine.
My mouth is watering at the thought of it. Well, thank you, John.
Well, thank you, Dan.
I hope you enjoyed our visit to the Waverly Farmers Market, officially the 32nd Street Market, because that's where it's held each Saturday, 7 a.m. until noon, every Saturday of the year. That's at the intersection of East 32nd Street and Barclay Street. That's our show for now. Dan Rodericks of the Baltimore Sun here saying thank you for listening, and we'll see you again soon for another episode of Roughly Speaking.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. Located at 6080 Falls Road, more information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.